Some of y'all aren't 22 years old. Oh, goodness. Jennifer and Bobby are not here this morning because Bobby actually got on a plane and flew to North Dakota to see Bobby's sister, Jennifer's daughter, and Jennifer's grandkids. So that's why they're not here. Billy Tatum got out of the hospital, and so he's back home, but he's had a rough week. Louise Fitzsimmons was in the hospital over the week with some heart issues, and she's back home, and so she'd appreciate our prayer as well. It's good to see Deanna back, hale, hearty, and healthy, maybe. So, but, Alan comes back from the frozen tundra on Wednesday. So, yes. It just serves them right. That's all I got to say. It just serves them right. So, yeah. But I'm glad you're here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and find John chapter 15. We are picking back up with a series about who am I in terms of who am I in God's eyes? What does the Bible say I am? What kind of identity do I have scripturally? We talked about being a child of God. We talked about being a new creation. And today we're looking at, I am a branch of the grapevine. Jesus tells an extensive message about we are the branches, he is the vine, and his Father is the vine dresser. And so I want you to find John chapter 15, starting verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He talks about a sacred relationship between the Father and the Son. I always get interested when I hear people starting to give stories and explanations describing the Trinity that we can take and just some simple words express a relationship that is supernatural and complex and beyond our comprehension and beyond our understanding. And so one of the things, one of the words we use to describe it, a word not found in Scripture, by the way, is the word Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus here describes, illuminates, sheds some light on that idea. He says that I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Other translations use the word gardener, farmer, caretaker. Are all words where that is translated. I am the vine. My Father is the grower of the vine. See, there's a sacred relationship between Father and Son that we don't completely understand fully understand, and anybody that tells you they fully understand it, then they've got a very small God if their mind can understand it, everything there is about it. But he gives us some illumination here, some information about it. And describing in simple terms this ongoing caretaking relationship. See, there's something about grapevines that's different from a lot of plants. You don't have to plant them again every year. You plant the grapevine once, and it grows, and you just prune it back, and it grows again, and it grows again, and it just stays in that same spot all the time. The gardeners call them perennials as compared to annuals. It's interesting the things that stick around a long time. You know, pecan trees have a lifespan. You know, 30, 40 years, and the pecan tree has lived its life, and they cut it down, and they plant new ones because it doesn't bear enough fruit. Grapevines are not that way. There are 1,000-year-old grapevines still producing grapes. He says, I am the vine, and my Father's the caretaker of the vine. It's a sacred relationship. The vine does not do well without the caretaker. And the caretaker has nothing to do if it were not for the vine. Relationship of love and trust and compassion and concern that's beyond what we can understand, but beautiful in the way it comes together. And then he says that vine's got a sacred purpose. And that sacred purpose is to bear fruit. And there is this really strange Christian heresy that came out in the 20th century, 19th and 20th century, that somehow we come to know God because of all the stuff God does for us. That the whole purpose of being a Christian was because of the blessings and benefits God would give to us. And I believe God gives us blessings and benefits. But the purpose of me being a Christian is not so I can get good stuff from God. The purpose of me being a Christian is that I bear fruit. And the Scripture refers to two kinds of bearing fruit. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. That those things ought to be born in the life of the Christian. That our whole purpose of following Christ, part of it is to exemplify those kind of attitudes and actions in our lives of the fruit of the Spirit. But the other kind of fruit the Scripture talks about is helping other people become Christians and teaching others how they may come to know Christ, that we bear fruit by the people that we have won to the Lord. And so bearing fruit is both of those. And we have a sacred purpose. If He is the vine and we are the branches, our purpose is to bear fruit. And He says, if we're to bear fruit, He prunes us so that we bear more fruit. Do you know what pruning is? I'll tell you how we prune stuff. We take real sharp metal implements, and we slice them off. Ain't nothing gives more blood, sweat, and tears than pruning mesquite trees. And you fill your pickup truck of all the branches you prune off of one mesquite tree. And you get stuck 57,000 times pruning mesquite trees. But you take pieces off is pruning. Sometimes we get real angry at the hard stuff that happens to us, the tough stuff that happens to us in life. not recognizing that what's happening is God is pruning, that we may be more fruitful. It's amazing how often you have two families go to the hospital with a health emergency, and one family comes out of it, oh, so much more compassionate and caring and sensitive to the needs of others. And others come out angrier and meaner than they were when they went in. Because how dare God let stuff like that happen to them? And one of the differences is understanding why some of those kind of things happen at times. It's God pruning us, causing us pain, that we grow and become more fruitful. And one of the things that I said a long time ago was if I had to go through the pain, I wanted to learn the lesson God wanted me to learn from it. Because I'm a wimp and I don't want to go through the pain twice because I didn't learn it right the first time. He prunes us to make us more fruitful. And it says, the fruitless branches are removed. And I don't think this is a statement of loss of salvation, although I understand a case could be made for that from this, because I think the whole of Scripture teaches that once we're saved, it's an action of God, and God does not come back and undo His actions. It's an action of mine, it can get undone real quick. But if salvation is an action of God, He changes it. But I think that if we live a lengthy life of fruitlessness, that there needs to be an honest questioning of where we really stand with God to start with. You see, we have a sacred purpose, and that sacred purpose is to bear fruit, to produce fruit, to make a difference. And we start asking questions like, how many folks did you invite to church this week? And yet we say our purpose is to bear fruit. And this ought to at least give us pause. We have a sacred purpose to bear fruit. And then the Scripture says, we have a sacred place, and that sacred place is to abide in Christ. The way to bear fruit is to abide in Christ. You know, there's a difference between living somewhere and staying somewhere. You know what it means to just stay somewhere? Walked into somebody's house one time and they'd never unpacked from their last move. Everything they had were still in boxes. And I asked them, when are you going to unpack? And they said, well, I'm not really sure we're sticking around. You've been here 6 years. When do you think you might decide? You know? Because they'd never really lived there. They'd never really moved in. They just stayed there. Had a friend whose parents owned a motel on West Central Avenue in Albuquerque. It's the old Route 66. It was the second motel on the west side of Albuquerque coming in back in the day. I have no idea what's out there now. There's probably 57 motels and three interstate sections out past there now. But when Rex was growing up, it was the second motel in coming into town. And he would come into school and tell us stories of some of the weird people that stayed in his parents' motel. And his lifetime goal was to never, ever run a motel the rest of his life. Because when he was in junior high and high school, His parents were sure that he was the best hotel maid they'd ever had, that he was the best hotel repairman they'd ever seen. And he often had to, you know, go home in the middle of the day to clean the rooms up to get them ready for the next night, because, you know, he and his parents had a disagreement about whether or not the real maid was going to come to work that day or not. And so Rex had lots of stories. And he talked about people who would come into the motel and just absolutely trash and destroy a room. And they'd always leave real quick in the morning. They never could catch them, because this was back in the days before everybody paid with credit cards. Everybody paid with cash. And so they'd always end up losing money on those rooms, because sometimes they'd have to replace furniture and fix walls and paint walls and all kinds of repair work for the motel. And so if they heard something like that going on, they had an old car that they would park behind those people's car and stop them from leaving. But it was an old car that they just towed in and out of the parking lot because the people kept hitting it trying to get out. And that was the way they keep them there until they get paid for the damages done to the room. And every time they talk to those people or they call the police on them, they say, "But we're just staying here. We don't live here." And think it was okay to trash the place because we don't live here. And Rex's dad would scream at them, "But I live here." You see, if we abide in Christ, we don't just stay there, we live there. We move in. We change our address. We become a part of the neighborhood. He says, if you abide in me, you keep my commandments. You do the things I say. You steep yourself in my word. You abide in me. You live there. That's where you belong. Not just someplace you're staying. Grapevines stay. He didn't use corn or wheat as the illustration. Because what happens to corn and wheat? They both bear fruit. But what do you do when you pick all the corn or you pick all the wheat? Tear those stalks out. If you're really happy with them, you grind them up, throw them back in the soil for food for the next year. But not a grapevine. A grapevine stays. And so you take care of the soil because those grapes are going to taste like whatever the ground tastes like. And you take care of the water, that it always gets good water. And it stays. He is the vine, we are the branches, and we live there. We stay there. We hang out there. And we recognize the love of the Father. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. To live in God's love. A few weeks ago, we recognized John and Eleanor Muchler have been married for 70 years. I think they may have the hang of it. But you talk to a lot of folks, and they're used to hookup culture, where sometimes the next morning they don't even remember the name of the person they were with. And he's looking at her, trying to come up with her name, and calls her sweetie and honey because he has no clue what her name is after he sobers up. Because he's just hanging up and hooking up for the night. He's not staying there. John and Eleanor Muchler abide. They stay there. It's a sacred place to abide in Christ. to live there, to plant our lives so it makes a difference because we're living in Christ. It's a sacred place. The difference between growing corn or wheat versus growing grapes. And we need to bear fruit because we abide. So where do you live? Are you hanging around till the next season? Do you rush out before you get caught doing something nasty? Where do you hang around? Where do you live? Where do you abide? Where is your source of love and encouragement? Where do you hang out? We abide in Christ. We bear fruit. And God takes care of us. Who am I? I am a branch of the eternal grapevine, cared for by the master gardener. And everything that happens in my life is so I can please the gardener by bearing fruit. Whether it's happy or it's painful, he gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand a relationship in you is a relationship to bear fruit, to abide. Help us to be happy in abiding. Help us to please you by bearing fruit. Father, may you use us to make a difference. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to abide. I'm going to invite. I'm going to bear fruit. As I am a branch of the divine vine tended by the master gardener. That's who we are. Let's claim our identity. We're going to sing from the inside out. Not just what happens outside, but what happens inside. Let's stand together and sing.
A thousand times I've failed, so your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Console me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. Your will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. Yeah, in my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Console me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, Lord. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Console me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out.
To love God from the inside and the out, making a difference. Got some, received some kind of sad news today. Chuck and Rosa, this will be their last Sunday with us. They're having to move to Texas and be with some family and got an opportunity to go this week. And so, gosh, we're going to miss you guys. Bless your hearts. We love you, and you're important to us. So, God bless you guys. Let's pray together. Shaddy, would you pray for us, please?